Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I am the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and Doug McBurney, great to see you.
That's right. This is it. This is the place to be on Mondays, right here on Bob and Yurt Live. So glad to be here.
In Indiana, we have our reason number 1,109 to keep your kids out of public school.
Indiana.
Yeah.
That's a very conservative place. They probably have some of the better public schools.
Indiana. Everybody, when they're buying a house, they say, it's the best school in the state.
That's right.
It's the best school in the county.
Yeah.
It's an award-winning. Mm-hmm. We're buying here in this neighborhood because of the school.
It's because of the schools. That's probably what they heard when they moved into the neighborhood around, isn't it Central High School there in Indianapolis?
Yeah, North Central High School. Every realtor tells their customer, this is the best school district in the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your kids are the perfect age to get into the best school around.
Well, except Adams City High School.
Oh, there.
They can't get
that. That's
can't
north
get away
of Denver.
That. Yeah.
They can't get
they
away.
They can't get away
they
with
can't
that.
Get away with that there.
No, they've had a bad reputation for 25 years.
So North Central High School crowned their transgender prom king.
Okay. So let's do the math on this. It's if it was a boy, it wouldn't be in the news, right?
Right.
It's
so
prom
it's
king.
A girl who says she's a guy.
Yeah.
And she's the prom king, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Has to be.
Sure. And who are we to judge?
Yeah. If a guy enters a contest to be the prom queen, he could be Coyote Ugly and he'd win.
Yes. I think that's already happened somewhere. I read this. The queen came first and now it's the king.
Oh, you know what? I apologize. I just used bigoted term.
You did?
Yeah. King.
Oh.
And queen. Doug, I don't think we could say those are sexist terms.
Sexist. They're exclusionary. They're patriarchal.
Yeah.
Very offensive.
You know what is a really bad term? Really, really bad?
Is there anything worse than king and queen? That's pretty bad.
Princess.
Ooh.
That's flat out hate speech. So students are, this was just reported yesterday, University of Florida student.
This was sent to us by a loyal listener.
Penalized for writing the word man instead of humankind.
Wait a second. Yeah?
Yeah, in a class paper, it's a history major. Can't write man.
Mankind?
But the thing is, humankind has man in it.
Uh-oh.
It's humankind. There's man. Even woman has man in it.
Oh, that's really got to upset.
You know, when you're at war with reality, you're really messed up. There's pretty much no safe haven for you.
No.
No.
What are they going to do? Eventually, you just can't say anything.
Yeah.
You have to use all gender neutral and species neutral language.
Yeah.
And then how do you communicate any valuable ideas?
So we're going to add those. We'll add those to our article, kgov.com/homosexuality.
Okay.
Because the whole transgender thing, that's just a version of the homosexual perversion.
Yeah, just a more extreme version of the average homo.
Oh.
Right? It just goes a little further.
Oh.
Right?
I never thought of it that way, but
it's like the average homo taking it to the nth degree. I'm going to go have surgery. I'm going to take hormones.
Well, they don't all have surgery.
Not all.
Many are just girly men. Guys talking like a girl and acting like a girl.
So they're just your average run-of-the-mill homo, and they want to be recognized as transgender.
Drop the phony homo list.
Please.
Stop with the limp wrist.
Yeah.
Be a man. Talk like a man.
Yeah.
So we'll have to add those to kgov.com/homosexuality.
Yeah. And there's yet another reason, as if you needed one, to get or keep your kids out of the government schools.
Yes.
Because they're officially godless. And eventually, when you're godless, you go insane and you go to war with reality. Because God is reality. He's the fountain of reality.
Yes. So, and that was reason number 1,109 to keep your kids out of public school.
And if you're not keeping them out, get them out. Consider getting them out. It's not as frightening as you
might think. I was assuming that every rational listener to Bob and Yurt Live has already guaranteed to protect their children by keeping them out of government schools.
Well, I happen to know of one listener who has not. And he's thinking, he's feeling like maybe he should.
Well, enough with the feelings.
He needs encouragement.
You need to do what is right.
Well, he said that he talked to his son about it. His son was not interested.
Could you imagine Elijah telling God, "Well, I'm just not feeling it yet." I mean, feelings have nothing to do. What do you mean he talked to his son?
Well, he talked to his son about
it. What is the son? Is the son the father?
Well, he broached
the father needs to be the father. The son is the child. It's the father's job to protect the son, not to get the son's permission to protect the son.
Mm, wow. Well, that's, you can't argue with that lot, to protect the son.
Yes.
I don't know if he's thought about it that way, because I, you know what I told him? I'm trying to be nice. I said, well, you've planted the seed, and now this summer he can think about it, and we can address this issue when it's time to go to school.
Oh, brother.
That was not the best.
You were way, way nice.
Too nice.
Too nice.
The father needs to protect the son. Maybe he hasn't thought about it in those terms, because it is a life and death battle.
Well, yeah.
For the soul of his child.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And they don't send home a note saying, tomorrow we're going to ruin your kid's mind.
No.
They don't give you that kind of warning. No. It happens gradually.
Yeah, yeah.
And it really doesn't matter how great your... Let's say it's a son, he's a strong Christian and all.
Yeah.
And he wants to live a moral life and honor God. And then the girls in his class realize that he believes it's wrong to have sex outside of marriage.
Yeah.
They will view him as a challenge.
Oh, man.
So they will be especially enticing to him.
Yeah, that's not... That's
and so
not
then how many weeks or months or years do you expect your son to hold out?
Yeah, well, not less than a semester.
It's...
Yeah, it's bad. Very scary stuff. Yeah. Well, I've been praying for this fellow, and I'm hoping that to get the opportunity to speak with him again, and then I'll put it in these terms. Mm. You are responsible to protect your son.
Yeah, of course.
And then he's got a daughter, too. I don't even want to start with that. Oh, boy.
So then we have the United Methodists. We have the rogue
Methodists.
Catholics.
We got rogue Catholics and United Methodists.
Right.
So rogue Catholic, they could
they
be doing something.
They should just get together. At least they won't be bearing children.
Oh, man.
So which do you start with?
Well, I got to tell you, I was shocked that there was a controversy in the United Methodist Church about homosexuality on any level. I was actually pleasantly surprised to learn that someone in that church is saying, well, wait a second. We have an openly homosexual bishop now.
A lesbian bishop from here in Colorado.
Yeah, right here in Denver.
And
wouldn't you know?
This woman has been ordained as a bishop. And so now their top level judicial council.
Yes, yes.
The church's highest authority.
That's it.
Is weighing in. Doug, when this was announced, we already put them on our superfluous list of, quote, Christians going gay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we knew they would allow this pervert, this lesbian, to remain a bishop.
Now,
so what's happened? I didn't check up on it.
Well, it seems that the highest judicial council in the United Methodist Church decided they didn't really have the authority to rule on this specific subject, but they were willing to say...
They used the Pope line.
Yeah.
Who am I to judge?
That was it. It was sort of a version of the Pope's line.
See, Francis, he does have influence.
That's it. He
even
certainly does.
Beyond the walls of the Vatican.
Yeah, yeah.
Who am I to judge?
Now, it seems that the judicial council said, yes, it's a sin, but she can stay. That's pretty much what they said.
So,
or we think it might be a sin. We're going to assign a disciplinary review committee to look into if this is a sin. But for now, she can still be the bishop.
You know, that's exactly what the membership director of George W. Bush's United Methodist Church said to me when I called when he put in his name in the primary to run for president.
This was all the way back in
2000,
late 1999.
When
he was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I found out what church he went to.
You called them up.
The same church that Hillary Clinton goes to.
Really?
This is post-Christian, United Methodist.
Yeah.
Radically pro-child killing, pro-sodomy, all that, homosexuality. Yeah. So, and I asked, if someone is openly homosexual, could they be a member in good standing at your church? And the membership director, she said, oh, yes, of course.
Of course.
We do teach that She said, I think we teach that it's a sin, but of course they could be a member in good standing.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Now, what did you mean by sin, man? What exactly do you mean by
That's sin. Preference.
Yeah, apparently.
Personal preference.
Yeah. So the United Methodist, she's, and I don't know that there's much more of an update in just that they punted to a committee on discipline.
So we were right to add them to our superfluous list of Christians going gay.
Yeah, and by the way, that list, I would assume, includes the Episcopal Church and the Presbyterian Church, because they've both approved same-sex marriage.
We have the Episcopal Church here with the link.
The Episcopals.
On the list. You see the list?
I see the list.
And
it
we have
every day.
We have it highlighted with a graphic.
Oh, that picture. I sent that. I sent that to so many people.
You remember this picture?
That was the picture of Donald Trump holding the rainbow homo flag, emblazoned with the words
LGBT for Trump.
For Trump.
And when he had thousands of Christian conservatives on their feet applauding homosexuals.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
At the Republican National Convention.
And so that picture is the marquee picture on the superfluous list.
Someone in the studio audience right this very second doesn't believe. How did this person get into our studio audience?
There's Donald Trump.
Who
holding...
is this guest? Has this guest been vetted?
Have you been vetted properly?
I don't,
that person may need to be escorted from the facility. Take her BlackBerry and her keys.
So, at any rate, of course, Trump is part of this superfluous list.
Yeah. Oh, and I just wanted to, the reason I brought up the Episcopalians is that Neil Gorsuch goes to a very liberal Episcopalian church over in Boulder.
Yeah, yeah. We need to add Gorsuch to this list.
I think he's superfluous.
Think?
Oh, absolutely. I think he
superfluous
needs to be
list of Christians in quotes and conservatives in quotes going gay.
Yeah. And we could put a
promoting
link.
Homos.
There's an article, a very friendly article from the Washington Post, very friendly to Neil's church, trying to convince liberals that Neil is a guy that we can talk to. Look, he goes to this church. It's extremely liberal.
Yeah. Well, on the pro-life profile for Donald Trump, there is an update on Gorsuch and his just horrific promotion of homosexuality.
Yeah.
You know, it's a foregone conclusion. He would rule against Christians trying to defend the family and marriage, sexual immorality, and for homosexuals.
I think
foregone
so.
Conclusion.
Yeah, I would agree.
He's already stated it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's radically head over heels in love with homos.
which is kind of disturbing to think about. But,
I
think he is.
Right.
And so, but
I think Trump should fly that flag over the White House on Homo Day.
Yeah. National you remember Barry, he lit the whole White House up with the rainbow colors.
Yeah.
Maybe every year Trump could fly that flag. They turn the lights on.
Yeah.
It becomes a
LGBT for Trump.
But, Bob, it would be
that
way worse.
Flag.
It would be way worse if Hillary had won. Trust me on that.
Wait,
can you imagine?
Because Hillary wouldn't get thousands of conservative Christians to cheer for homosexuals.
Well, Hillary
she wouldn't.
She couldn't do
she
that.
Couldn't do that.
No,
but Trump
could.
So a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
How is that worse, then? It actually seems like that's worse that Donald Trump got elected.
Yeah, because he brings the perversion and the child killing into the camp, into the heart of the Christian community, where you have tens of thousands of activist Christians defending Donald Trump, even though he's an open child killer.
Yeah.
He kills kids. Yeah. It'd be as though they were in Germany and saying, well, this guy, he supports killing some Jews, but he's really great because he's going to save us economically. Yeah, he's
now,
really good on foreign policy.
Okay, so let's change the subject because we're losing listeners. Our Trump fans, they're going to turn us off. What about North Korea? Let's talk about North Korea.
We don't have any Trump fans.
We don't have any Trump fans left?
Well,
that tune in regularly?
Well, I hope not.
It's possible they just found us by mistake, scanning the dial on the radio.
Yeah,
we don't want to offend.
Don't support a child killer. I know that's radical. I know that's not very Christian of me.
Yeah,
I know it's short-sighted, but don't support child killers, and your child killer is always worse than their child killer.
That's pretty harsh.
So
that's pretty harsh. That's tough. That's strong medicine.
It's just the truth.
Yeah, the best medicine's often quite strong.
It's simple.
Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you, I was reading the book of Matthew last night with my children. My children are 15, 9, and 8.
Oh.
They're young, right? At least the younger ones are still young. The older one now, she's not young anymore. Anyway,
yeah,
I'm reading the book of Matthew.
Your kids are getting old.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'm reading the book of Matthew, and I read the part where the apostles came to Jesus after he had insulted the Pharisees. And his apostles came to him in private, and they said, don't you realize that you've just insulted? Don't you realize they're offended at what you just said?
Yeah.
And I'm reading along, and the next verse I say, and Jesus immediately said, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to offend anyone. And all three of the kids cracked up laughing.
Yeah, right,
they
got
it.
They knew, of course.
It was great.
Yeah,
was
Jesus, great. He said, I'm so sorry.
Please.
Let me restate that.
Right.
When John the Baptist asked, are you the one? And Jesus said, go tell him that I'm doing miracles and I'm offending everybody.
That's right. That was his.
I'm just offending everybody. Mm-hmm. So chances are I'm the one.
Yeah, that was the answer to John in the
Not
affirmative.
Chances are, but
the offense. Yeah,
because
yes.
I'm offending everyone.
So let's.
He is the rock of offense.
Amen. Now, but let's talk about Donald Trump and what's happening in North Korea because, hey, the situation is getting critical in North Korea. It's seriously getting critical. I think so. Maybe serious this time. That this nut job could actually launch a missile that could do something bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you think that America has the authority to preemptively strike Kim Jong-un's?
Absolutely.
We have the authority.
You know, when there's ever uncertainty, simplify it to instead of foreign policy and principles of warfare, simplify it to a neighborhood with homes.
Okay.
And so you find out that your neighbor, let's say they're atheists. Let's say he's a Muslim.
Okay.
And he's building a nuclear weapon.
A nuclear weapon.
In his garage.
Okay. That's
so,
pretty serious.
Yeah. So what? He has the right to build a nuclear weapon in his garage. So when nations interact with one another, France, Germany, Britain, they all have nuclear weapons.
They
Israel,
do. Yeah.
Russia, America.
Yeah.
And even though these are all run by godless governments,
right,
they have a degree of self-respect between them where it's called mutually assured destruction. They know that if they attack another nation, they themselves could be wiped off the face of the earth.
Right. Hence, there's a deterrent among rational states.
Right.
Yeah.
With states like Iran that are apocalyptic and states like North Korea run by this inbred madman family.
Yeah.
Three generations of imbeciles are enough
in
this context.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was stated in a horrifically evil context by the U.S. Supreme Court regarding forced sterilization.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
Yeah. Mm. But in this context, three generations of imbeciles is enough, and the world doesn't have to tolerate this kind of risk where a madman can send on a submarine or worse, in a container on a ship.
Yeah.
Send something to South America, to Africa, and puts something in the midst of a container on a cargo ship and then send it to maybe up the Hudson River to New Jersey.
It's possible.
To be unloaded in Elizabeth.
It's possible he could do
and
that.
And it actually has a nuclear weapon in it.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
So that kind of risk doesn't have to be tolerated by the world.
Mm. Now, there's the question of the immediate, how do you do this? How do you stop this guy?
Yeah.
Without getting an awful lot of people killed.
Well, hundreds of thousands of people in South Korea.
They say that within 30 minutes that Jong-un's artillery could kill maybe a million people in Seoul. No nuclear weapons, just his artillery.
So
if it's to be believed that he has what he claims.
You know, in this sense, Trump's America First, you know how he's criticized because of the missiles he sent into Syria.
Yes.
60 Tomahawk cruise missiles.
Yes.
And the Moab bomb in Afghanistan. We've got a bigger one than that.
I just read that.
We've got MOP.
I want to see
Moab
that.
Moab and MOP.
We need to get that thing going.
The Massive Ordnance Penetrator.
Yeah, that's the bunker buster of all bunker busters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's being criticized that this is violating his America First policy, but really it's not, because America is at risk by North Korean nuclear weapons, including on their submarines. We do a pretty good job tracking their submarines, but we do lose them on occasion.
Yeah.
When we lose them, we just don't blow all of the remaining ones out of the sea.
No.
We lose them, then we look for them. Mm-hmm. And there could be a nuclear weapon on one of them or in a shipping container.
Yeah.
And so putting South Koreans at risk of a U.S. first strike really is an America First policy. Mm. It really is.
Yeah.
In a very extraordinary way, and a way that I think is not immoral, because South Korea is also living with this risk.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, when a woman says to a man, "I'm not interested, leave me alone," and he keeps pursuing her, and she keeps trying to get away, and it's creepy, and then they find that, you know, he killed her.
Yeah.
Well, if you look back, she wouldn't have been better off to say, "Oh, okay, I'll marry you."
Well, no.
No.
I mean,
obviously, she made the right decision.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that the madman who's pursuing you might eventually pull the trigger. Mm. You're still making the right decision. So even for South Korea, living with the manipulation of this madman on their doorstep, it's unbearable to the world. So I'm glad that Japan has sent their largest warship.
I saw that. Yeah. That
to protect one of our supply ships.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty neat. It's their helicopter carrier.
Right, right.
800 foot long.
So proving that they're willing to invest in the situation.
Japan recognizes, because they're squarely within range.
Absolutely.
Of North Korea.
Yes. Missiles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as the North continues, I mean, I love the fact that their latest missile attempt.
Yeah.
You know, Japan closed down their subway system nationwide upon news of the launch.
Right. I heard that.
It only took 10 minutes, though, until they turned everything back on. They said, well, it blew up.
Right.
Not intentionally, it blew
up. Right,
another failed launch.
And if you ask me, that's the time to go after a madman while his missiles are still blowing up on the launch pad, because eventually he'll get one of them that'll go.
Yeah.
Eventually.
And he has, but a lot of the recent efforts have failed.
Yeah.
And that could be U.S. sabotage. I hope that it is.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
You know what would be great? Because in the supply chain, we send electronic circuitry chips that are programmed to fail on use.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so they work during testing and all, and then you hit a certain elevation, whatever, and they fail.
Ah.
And the missile goes out of control, blows up.
That's pretty good.
Wouldn't it be great if we could redirect it to Pyongyang?
Yeah.
And so they do a missile launch and test.
It turns back right on.
And it blows up Kim Jong-un's palace.
Yes.
What would he say, you know? The whole nation is watching on their one TV channel the missile launch and the palace blows
up. It obliterates his palace while he's standing in the parade grounds there.
Yeah.
I guarantee you there's a team of Israelis at Mossad working on that right now.
But if we were to launch a first strike, it would have to be massive. But, Doug, it does take us, I mean, half a year to build up that kind of, remember Shock and Awe?
I remember that.
Over Baghdad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Takes half a year to build that up. It's not just one carrier group.
Oh, no. No. Well, but
we have forces there, right?
The thing about the Korean situation is that both sides have been preparing for a conflagration for 60 years. So there's plans that are already on the shelf ready. You just pull them off the shelf.
Yeah.
You have to send the troops wherever you need them. That takes some time.
Yeah. You know, back in November, we interviewed here in studio 8th Army PFC, Private First Class, Russell Siefkis, who was stationed at the DMZ.
Oh, yeah.
Way back in the 60s. In fact, we uploaded all kinds of photos, historic photos.
Yeah.
From the DMZ. It's really worth looking at that page. That was November 17th. Oh, that was 2015.
Oh, wow.
So a year and a half ago. But we do have troops and equipment there, but I think not enough to do a successful first strike.
Oh, no.
To minimize what they could accomplish.
Right.
But, Doug, how deep is their readiness really? Yeah. When they do a parade, you know, that's all shined and polished.
Right, right.
But if China would stop, let's say China stopped oil shipments for 3 months, 4 months.
Yeah.
How much, what are their oil reserves like there in the country? They've already stopped importing coal from North Korea.
Right, right.
If they'd stop, and Russia too, stop shipping oil to North Korea, it could be astoundingly, I think, successful. Of course, we're risking tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives in South Korea, but it could be surprisingly successful. Iraq, what did they have? Like fourth largest army in the world?
That's right. Over 1 million men under arms.
It was the mother of all retreats.
That's right, yeah.
In the highway of death.
Well, we could hope for a similar outcome.
I mean, the defeat of the army was just textbook.
Yeah.
It was not a match.
No.
And the same would be true in North Korea, the same.
I believe that's true.
It would be no match. It doesn't matter how big their army is. It would be a completely one-sided victory, except there may be terrible casualties in South Korea.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think that Kim Jong-un has brainwashed a few generations of kids. They don't know any better. They think we're the enemy. They think the South is the enemy. They're ready to fire that artillery.
So
that's the scary part.
So we really can't harm North Korea. If we were to bomb them into the Stone Age, it would improve their nation.
That's true. Hey, that reminds me of what the president of Iran said this past week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said that America could never harm Iran.
Yeah.
Right?
I thought of you when I heard that. Remember I did that segment where Doug McBurney agrees with Hillary Clinton?
Oh, yes.
And she said, let's just drone Julian Assange.
Why can't we drone strike Assange?
Let's just drone him.
Which I've called for several years, yes.
And with the other guy in Russia.
Yes, Edward Snowden, another drone strike candidate. Yeah.
But here, I thought of you agreeing with the president of Iran, saying the U.S. can't harm Iran because, what, we bomb it? It'll only improve it.
That's right. We can only make things better, especially for the Iranian people.
In Germany, when we pummeled Germany, did we hurt the nation or did we help the nation? By destroying them, we helped them. Could you imagine if we hadn't taken out Germany, how bad for the German people that would be?
Yeah.
And the same thing with North Korea. You can't hurt North Korea by attacking it militarily. Trump could hurt them by not attacking them.
Yeah, they could continue to be enslaved, tortured, murdered, robbed blind. Yeah.
Yeah, millions of people
every day
robbed of freedom, liberty, free speech, freedom of religion, enslaved millions of people, tolerated for decades by the culture, by the West. Mm. By the left especially, and by the right.
It's something like Baltimore. Did you hear about the Baltimore mayor is asking for the FBI now to come? She says the murder rate is out of control. She's terrified of the summer.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? You're the mayor of a major metropolitan city.
Terrified.
And you're terrified that the summer is going to be just a bloodbath.
Well, this is the fruit of her support for Freddie Gray and the riots that just really never stopped.
No.
I mean, they changed form.
Yeah, it's a low level. To always percolating, people being murdered every night.
Yeah.
Every night.
Instead of burning down 7-Elevens, they're just shooting people.
Mm.
Like Chicago and Baltimore.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so if the police go into Baltimore, could they hurt Baltimore? They could only help Baltimore. A bigger police presence and a government that was actually responsible and cared about justice.
In large swaths of the country, the police have pulled back.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
Well,
because we've been asking them to keep law and order in a war zone.
Yeah. That's
what our inner cities are like, a war zone.
Hmm.
And the terms of engagement are different in a war zone. And you have more understanding and more mercy with a soldier than you do with a civilian in a normal country who kills someone.
So whether it's North Korea or the crime wave in America, you've got the ideas.
Well, it's in the Bible. God bless you, Doug McBurney.